Continuing our study in the book of Philippians from chapter 2 of the book that bears that name, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. 9, 10, and 11. Verses 9, 10, and 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This morning we studied the humiliation of Jesus. The Bible tells us that he was God's image, that he was the very essence of God. And yet, he, being equal with God and submissive to God, was willing to strip himself of the glory that he had as the Son of God, that is, as God's only begotten. The Bible tells us that Jesus became a bondservant to God. That is, he voluntarily submitted himself to do whatever God wanted him to do. And that he took upon himself the form of a man, that he appeared publicly on this earth as a man. Now, that wouldn't have been humiliation. But he appeared with sinners and took upon himself the sin of sinners when he died the death of the cross as a criminal convicted of being one who blasphemed God by claiming to be the king of the Jews and the Son of God when they accused him of not being those things. Jesus was abased. Jesus was humiliated. This was prophesied. But the Bible tells us that he was not left in this state of humiliation, that God exalted him. And in verse 9 it states, wherefore God also hath exalted, not just exalted, but highly exalted him. This word exalted means to raise up high, to elevate, to lift up. But it means more than to simply lift up high. It means to dignify. This word is used of the brazen serpent when Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent. It's the same word. It's used of Jesus when Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up. And in that sense, it simply means to elevate, to raise higher than that which might be around him. But Jesus was raised up on the cross, was crucified, but he was highly exalted. He was dignified. He was exonerated of his sin when Jesus was raised from the grave. That proved that he was not a sinner. And God, because Jesus was willing to abase himself and to humiliate himself in order to do God's will, then God highly exalted Jesus Christ and gave him a place of elevation. This is because of what Jesus did. But it's more than just what God does for Jesus Christ. This idea of abasing and exaltation is really a law of God. It fits into what might be termed a predictable thing. In other words, a law, if something is to be a law, it means that it is predictable. That if you do this, then you can predict an outcome. You can affect, if you have the cause and it is a true cause, you can predict that which it will cause. Now, Jesus said himself, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So this was a law that was in effect even before Jesus Christ was crucified. It simply means that when we are willing to abase ourselves, to humiliate ourselves because of who we are and what we are, then God is willing to exalt us. And this is what Jesus Christ had done for him. After he had abased himself, humiliated himself, then God gave him an exalted position. He hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now these are the two things that God did for Jesus Christ. He exalted him, and then he gave him a name which is above every name. We understand that this word name literally means the name of a person, the name of a thing. It is not a magic word. So many people have the idea that the name of Jesus is a spiritual formula, and that if we would say the name of Jesus, that's like saying a magic word, and whatever it's connected to will just as quickly occur. But the name, or the word Jesus, is the name of a person. It's the name that God gave to his Son. In Matthew, the first chapter, in verse 21, he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." And after Jesus Christ had humiliated himself, after he had denied himself all that went with his character and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, then God exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. And it is a proper name. It is the name Jesus. Whatever we do must be done in the name of Jesus Christ, because God has conferred on him the name which is supreme and above every other name. If you name a name, then I'll tell you a name that is superior. It doesn't make any difference if it's a king or a queen, presidents, governors, whatever it might be. Anyone's name that you state, I will state a name that is superior to that name. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. Now, God has decreed not only that Jesus Christ be exalted, not only he has given him a name which is above every name, but Paul writes that there are things that we must do because of the exaltation of Jesus Christ, because of who he is. There are some things that we should do. Notice verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. When the name of Jesus Christ is stated, it should evoke from the people who live on this earth such reverence and awe that we would immediately bow our knees to that person when we hear that name. That's what Paul's stating. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. When that name is mentioned, everyone should submit to him. Now there is a problem if we're not careful. We will get into the habit, just a religious habit, of bending our knee to him when we hear his name, and it becomes a habit, and we don't realize what we're doing, and we don't think about what we're doing, and That's not what Paul is talking about, that every time the word Jesus is said, people fall on their knees. It has in it the idea of subjection and submission. When we hear the name of Jesus Christ, we don't rebel, but we submit. There are people who are angered at the name of Jesus. They are infuriated when his name is used. They immediately become defensive and abusive when they hear the name Jesus. But God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And he simply means that when we hear the name of Jesus, there should be a submissive and reverence in our attitude and in our actions. The name of Jesus should calm an angry crowd. The name of Jesus should give direction to people who are confused. The name of Jesus should immediately rebuke all of us and remind us of our humanity. When there is a quarrel to be settled, the name of Jesus should invoke humility and submission in those who are involved. When there is anger and when there is a display of humanness, sinful humanness, then the name of Jesus should immediately rebuke that attitude in me and you, and we should submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Because this is what Paul means: at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. Literally, angels, humans, and devils. Everything is subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Whether they live in the world of God, whether they live on the earth itself, or whether they are subterranean creatures, that is, creatures of hell. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. What? That Jesus Christ is Lord. The idea that we simply believe in Jesus as a historical being or creature, or that we acknowledge that he once walked on this earth, is not sufficient. We are to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The Christ, the Anointed One, the One promised of Almighty God. We should confess Him to be the One sacrificed for our sins. When we confess that Jesus is, we have not confessed enough. We must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the Anointed Lord of all things. This is what we confess. And this is what glorifies God. To simply confess that Jesus lived brings little glory to God. But to confess that He is Christ and that He is Lord brings glory to God and to men. It's not wrong to put our signature on the things we do. It's not wrong to claim a work as having some part of our mental or physical endeavor involved in it. But it is wrong to deny God His rightful place in who we are and what we do. When we do things in our name, then we're the ones who receive the glory. When we do things with our name involved or too many personal pronouns involved, then I think we, like the Pharisees, receive the reward that we're going to get for that act by the adoration, by the praise that we receive from the men to whom we confess we have done that particular act. You know, there is a false humility. There are people who, when they do anything, they immediately say, "Oh, no, I didn't do anything. It was just God doing it through me." But sometimes they give you the impression by constantly invoking this that the Lord would have had a pretty tough time doing it without them. He certainly was involved, but he would have a pretty tough time having done it without them. And this is not the kind of false humility that we're talking about. We're talking about a genuine, honest, sincere belief that God works in us, that God empowers us, and that God guides us, and that God leads us, and that God puts us in these positions that we may be in to do something for Him, and that we don't have the wisdom and the power to do these things for God, that it is God working in us. And we'll be looking at that statement a little bit further, a little bit better as we continue this study. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, which strengtheneth me, or gives me the strength to do these things. We should not assume a responsibility and a power that we don't possess. And anyone who looks back in their lives, just looks back, especially when you're getting old, just look back, and then says, "Boy, I don't know. I can't see where God worked in my life. I don't see Him at all. If I hadn't been so super smart, I sure wouldn't be where I am today." Now, if you look back in your life and you see that, then you are not bowing your knee to Jesus Christ. You're just not submitting yourself to Him, because it's there. If you're God's child, it's there. And you can look at it and you can say, "God placed me here. God led me here. God directed me here. I wouldn't have had enough sense to have seen that, but suddenly there it was. I stumbled into it. I saw it. God helped me to accumulate it." We see in God the workings of Himself in our lives. And we acknowledge this in humility. And that's what brings honor and glory to God. To acknowledge that He has been a force in our lives. All things at this time have not been submitted to Jesus Christ. At this time, all things are not put under His feet. But someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, I could name some names tonight of people that I consider to be atheistic, agnostic, antagonistic, filled with arrogance, braggadocio, people who simply refuse to even retain the thought of God in their mind. And there are literally millions of people like that in the world today. They don't have to be famous. There are some poverty-stricken people who blaspheme the name of God through Jesus Christ. And there are people who have felt the power of God working in their lives in conviction, and yet they have not submitted themselves, they have not bowed the knee, and they have not confessed with their tongue. But I believe that this scripture and other scriptures teach that someday every human that's ever lived will come to their knees and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I believe the devil himself will someday do that. And I believe that lost people will someday do that. I believe that angels that sinned and left their first estate will someday bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. But it'll be an acknowledgement that will not save. If we wait, if we delay, and death catches us, then this bowing of the knee and this acknowledging of Jesus Christ to be the Lord to the glory of God the Father will not cause us to be born again. It will not change that state that we died in. And you know, one of the things that's difficult for me to understand is why people don't want to bow their knee to Jesus Christ and don't want to confess Him as Lord. To me, that's the most reassuring thing that I can do. When I have real problems and troubles that seem to overwhelm me, rather than trying to carry it all and to be, quote, manly about it and not run to Jesus and dump it off on Him, I think this is really what the Lord wants us to do. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your burdens upon me. These are the things that the Lord invites us to do, and I think His very nature and character invites us to exalt Him in our lives. And I believe this law works in our lives, that whosoever abases himself will be exalted, and whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. I believe that Jesus had more than Himself in mind when He said those words. And if we go through periods of humiliation, if we go through times of misunderstanding and real mental anguish, I believe that sooner or later, God will also exalt us. I said sooner or later. It may be later, but it'll be in God's time. Anytime we suffer humiliation as a Christian, sooner or later that'll be righted in the eyes of everyone who was involved in it. It may be at the judgment. I don't know when it'll be, but I believe that everything that we have suffered as a Christian, God sees and God notes, and that'll be righted sometime. Wherefore, God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Bow with me, please, as we pray. Our Father, we ask Your blessings upon this message, upon the truths that we have learned. We pray, Father, that You would bless us now as we sing our hymn of invitation with a response from any in the congregation who might feel their need of acknowledging You as Savior, who might feel their need of coming and uniting with the church by letter or perhaps for baptism. Lord, help us not to reject, but help us to submit and to acknowledge that You are our Lord and our God. Give us this time of rejoicing in victory, for we do ask not in our names nor for our sake, but in the name of Jesus. Amen.